This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ahoy, matey! Captain Donald J. Trump. Taking over every oil tanker coming or going from Venezuela. It's a U.S. blockade. It's an armada. Don't you dare try to break our blockade. Good morning and welcome. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's 9:07. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Did I mention it's a happy hump day, Trump day? Did I? Ahoy, matey. Anyway, so we've got that going on. Do you remember Ilhan Omar saying, well, I was going to say saying something crazy, and it's like, wow, I got to narrow it down.
Yeah, this time.
Saying that agents pulled her son over, immigration agents. Apparently, well, it's either not true or there's absolutely no record of it occurring. Acting ICE and Customs Enforcement Director Todd Lyons rejected the claims made by Ilhan Omar, the congresswoman from Minnesota, alleging that ICE agents pulled over her son after he went to Target. Omar alleged in an interview her son was pulled over by ICE agents, asserting that he was allowed once he produced his passport. Yep. So your son went to Target last night with his passport, the interviewer asked. He always carries it with him in case he gets pulled over, which he did by ICE. Yes, she agreed. Lyons said that Omar has not produced proof that this happened. He said ICE has absolutely zero record of its officers or agents pulling over Congresswoman Omar's son. It speaks volumes that the Congresswoman is leveling this accusation with absolutely zero proof. Noting that Omar is making these claims to continue to vilify ICE. However, Omar's spokesperson Jacqueline Rogers said the Democrat congresswoman is sticking to her story.
Okay.
So could it have been a quick thing where officers, I don't know, asked for ID?
Right.
I guess it's possible.
But she's going to blow it up, make it look like a brown skin thing.
Well, yeah, she can't help it. She has to milk every single thing, for the agenda. So I who knows, right? It wouldn't be the first time that a Democrat has stretched the truth, and it wouldn't be the first time that they've just made up stories out of whole cloth. Okay, Russia.
What?
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah,
they would lie.
Senator Tom Cotton. I remember it was back, I think, in the 80s when he had to take on Senator Polyester.
Wow. It's not even Friday yet.
It's not?
No, but it is
the 9 o'clock stretch.
It is the 9 o'clock stretch. Yeah, you've been up a while, so you know.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Senator Tom Cotton. Oh, come on. Every time you hear that, you think of something.
I think of High Cotton. You know, we're in High Cotton, the old
song. Oh, really?
Song. That's what I think of when I see his name, yeah.
Huh. Anyway, the senator introduced a pair of bills Tuesday to strengthen immigration security and ensure that only American citizens are eligible for in-state college tuition. It's aimed at closing loopholes that are frequently exploited. The Put American Students First Act points to 22 states in Washington, D.C. for violating Section 505 of the Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigration Responsibilities Act of 1996. That prohibits in-state tuition rates being granted to students who are not lawful residents of the state unless the same rates are offered to all citizens of the United States, regardless of residence. If passed, it would apply to academic years beginning on or after July 1st, 2026. So you've got the senator working on that. You've got the Maine governor, Janet Mills, approving a law preventing police from aiding immigration enforcement.
How is that even an American thing to do? Just asking.
Well, it's just an extension of the whole sanctuary thing. I mean, that's what they have been doing in many of these blue cities and states. And apparently getting away with it. So this, I think, is just, you know, that's an extension. Janet Mills, she's given her approval to the law that prevents police in her state from enforcing immigration laws or aiding federal law enforcement. She would allow LD 1971 to become law because she feels immigration and customs enforcement have engaged in unacceptable actions, though she still feels like the law is imperfect. Does she have a record of immigration and customs enforcement engaging in unacceptable actions? Can she cite any of those? Does she have video footage that she believes shows unacceptable actions? Did she get specific on anything? No, of course not. That is, once again, what the Dems do. They just make a broad statement and then never, ever back it up. Even with anything, come up with an anecdotal story that you believe occurred that showed that these were actions were unacceptable. Governor Mills had dallied a bit on signing the bill into law by failing to sign it during the 10-day window. Since she missed the time limit, she had only two choices: veto it and scotch the bill, or let it become law without her signature. She chose the latter. In an op-ed excusing her actions, Mill called ICE, quote-unquote, dangerous, and attacked federal immigration officials for arresting illegal aliens who otherwise have no criminal records. Calling law-breaking illegals in Maine immigrants, Mills lamented that they are wondering if they will pay a devastating price for believing in the welcoming promise of this country every time they drop their kids off at school or go to work or make a living for themselves and their family. Look, you either have the legal right and documentation to be here, or you do not. So if you do not have a legal right to be here, why would you want to be here? Why would you invest, so to speak, in America, where you theoretically could be told to leave at any time?
Right.
So why would you do that? Because there are enough, I guess, governors and mayors of big cities and states that, you know, will basically kind of protect you.
Sadly.
Yeah, she went on, and here's another one where you know it goes too far. She complained that ICE is abducting U.S. citizens. Now, she's saying abducting, first of all, that's big. Are they really abducting citizens at all? Are they abducting people? Mm-hmm. That would be wrong. But abducting U.S. citizens? So you're saying they're just randomly taking now U.S. citizens off the streets? She accused Trump and the federal government of committing abuses. Did this governor say one word when the borders were wide open under the Biden administration, when millions of illegals, even during COVID, were coming across the border and they were not forced to get their shots? They were not forced to. And yet, did she speak up about that? Or was that okay? Unacceptable actions. Would you say that illegally crossing a border would be an unacceptable action?
Yeah.
You would think. Yeah. While allowing this anti-law enforcement bill to pass into law, the left-wing governor also repealed a previous governor's executive order mandating that state law enforcement cooperate with ICE and federal officials. So it even goes further. And, you know, she wants to say that, oh, these people got arrested that otherwise wouldn't have a criminal record. She means other than crossing the border illegally.
Mm-hmm.
But does she know that for those cases that have occurred, they get pulled in with other people that are on the more wanted list, if you will.
Right.
But so you're going to protect all of them, many of which could be bad people committing heinous crimes, you'd rather take your chance and protect all of them and then hope that there's not a negative fallout or collateral damage like your family or your neighbor's family or someone else getting killed by a drunken, DUI illegal or stabbed or raped or murdered, etc. 9:16 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. We're about 30 minutes away from Things That Make You Smile. Brought to you by Transformation Dentistry and my dentist, Dr. Samantha Annis. Start thinking about some upbeat positive thoughts that you can share with us then. All right? You're listening to 97.3 The Sky.
This update brought to you by Bounds Heating and Air featuring Carrier. Well, we are looking pretty good right now. Starting to see a little more volume. It's more about people maybe going to be getting out and shopping versus actually going to work at this point. Just be aware of that. I-75 right now, no accidents or blockages to slow you down. At Bounds Heating and Air, you get the kind of personal care only a true family-owned business delivers. For generations, their team has stood by honesty, integrity, and commitment to the community. Experience the Bounds difference at BoundsHVAC.com. That's Bounds. HVAC.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning and welcome. It is 9:21 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. I told you U.S. blockade of Venezuelan oil tankers is one of your top stories. Tuesday, Chris Cuomo on News Nation was talking to Senator John Fetterman. And asked him, hey, you heard from the president. He's expanded the circle here, talking about Venezuela. He said, not just talking about drugs, about oil, and that they're a terror. The whole regime, the whole country is a foreign terror organization. A total and complete blockade of all sanctioned oil tankers going in and out until they return what they stole from us. What did they steal? And what do you make of this? Now, he was talking to John Fetterman, the senator from Pennsylvania. Fetterman said, Iran is involved on that, and Russia's involved on that, and China as well, too. A lot of those things, that's sanctioned oil right now. And those are the kinds of funds that support regions, like in Iran, and now, absolutely right now, it's not a plan to, like, a land war and invade Venezuela and that, but seizing those kinds of oil tankers, it's undeniable. That's oil that's going to support Iran. Those are the kind of funds that are used for all kinds of illicit things, like with terrorism. So for me, it makes a lot of sense, at least from what I've seen. So once again, Fetterman gives the answer that most Democrats would not, but one that appears to make a whole lot of sense. In fact, he says it makes a lot of sense to seize and block the sanctioned tankers. Mm-hmm. Because Iran, China, and Russia are involved.
And yet, the ones who are supposed to be healthy-minded are, Trump's a criminal. We're stealing boats. We're stealing oil. He's killing innocent fishermen. And it's like, Fetterman's like the voice of reason in the Democrat Party these days.
And, of course, Cuomo continued with Fetterman and said, what did you learn, Senator, that gave you any comfort that we're not heading into some kind of extended military exercise around Venezuela or in Venezuela? And this had to do with the strikes on the drug boats, right? Fetterman answered, I thought it was pretty comprehensive. And this idea, some things are out in the media, it's kind of putting out this that the military's just picking off any boat that comes along. That's just not true. There's extensive intelligence. They know exactly who's on that boat, and they know exactly what's actually on that boat right now. And it's quite frequently they decline to take it, and and to move on those things. When they move on those kinetic kinds of strikes, they have absolute confidence who's on it and what's on it, and that's exactly what it's about. They're not going around randomly just shooting boats in those things. That's just not the fact.
Nice.
So, once again, you know, you've got a senator, a Democrat senator, mm-hmm. actually defending the president, and maybe in a stronger way than a whole lot of Republicans, frankly.
So will he definitely be kicked to the curb by the Democrat Party next time around and have to run as an independent if he wants to run? Or a Republican?
All I can say on that is mm-hmm. thank God Hillary's not in charge.
Oh, he'd have had more than a stroke.
They would be calling him Vince 2.0, possibly.
Yeah, he'd be Clintonized.
Possibly. He'd be on the bad list for sure.
Oh, yeah. We're not talking about Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Let's see. Infinite wisdom. Let's look for a smart guy.
Where are you looking?
I'm looking in Minnesota.
Oh, you just give up.
Governor Tim Walz. Yeah. Now, just 2 days after this attack at Brown University, Tim Walz pushed an assault weapons ban.
And an assault weapons ban?
Yeah, but wait. Now, that's very typical for Democrats to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you have a shooting. Oh, these assault weapons are awful. They're bad. Uh-huh. But I guess maybe somebody forgot to pull him aside and say, it was a handgun.
Oh, no.
It was a handgun.
Not an assault weapon?
Well, he did not define what constitutes an assault weapon, thereby leaving Minnesotans to guess whether the term would be applied as broadly as in Colorado, where some shotguns and pistols are included in the ban.
Obama tried to get pistols as an assault weapon.
Yes, he did. Walz spent months pushing for more gun control after a transgender who changed his name from Robert to Robin opened fire on a Catholic school in Minneapolis. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Back in August? The transgender had a handgun, a shotgun, and a rifle. Walz's efforts to secure more gun control, including pushing for a special legislative gun control session and even floating the idea of an assault weapons ban via an amendment to the state constitution. None of Walz's efforts were successful. Nevertheless, 2 days after the Brown University handgun attack, he revisited his desire to ban assault weapons.
The only assault is on the Second Amendment.
You got that right.
The same.
Yeah. Linda McMahon has stepped up and called for Walz to resign, but it had nothing to do with guns or gun control. It had to do with Minnesota education fraud. Details on that and a whole lot more coming your way on The Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's a happy hump day, Trump day. It is 9:28, and you're listening to 97.3 The Sky.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Welcome. It's 9:34. Happy Hump Day, Trump Day. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And an 11.5-foot, nearly 800-pound great white shark named Ripple is breaking new ground by venturing deep into the Gulf of Mexico.
What Gulf was that?
Well, I'm trying to ascertain where exactly the shark is first, but the way it's explained in this article, they refer to that body of water as the Gulf of Mexico. His movements mark some of the first documented tagged white sharks to travel this far into those Gulf waters. Tracking data shows Ripple visiting Pulley Ridge offshore Tampa and a growing hotspot near Cape San Blas. You ever been up that way?
No.
Cape San Blas?
No.
Near St. Mark's, up kind of in the armpit little, of the panhandle-ish?
No, never been to the armpit, just both sides.
It's kind of cool back in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I would say that part of the Gulf would be the Gulf of America. Now, if you want to go to, you know, right on the coast of parts of Mexico, that might be considered the Gulf of Mexico. But Tampa, that's in America.
Yeah, and I'm looking at a map. Mm-hmm. And I got this from New York Post, but yeah, I'm looking at a map, and clearly it shows Gulf of Mexico. And then a little bit further toward the country of Mexico, it says Mexico Basin.
Gotcha.
Not seeing Gulf of America anywhere. Who are these scallywags and scoundrels? But anyway, researchers that are tracking the Great White confirm long-term data predictions, and this could help guide future conservation efforts. Chris Fisher, founder of the expedition of O-Search, says Ripple has become something of a trailblazer, charting a course that's providing valuable insights into white shark behavior patterns along Florida's coast. And Ripple has really been our mover south this year early. Yeah, well, everybody's coming to Florida. You can't blame the Great White.
That's true.
Right? He's almost kind of like pioneering the way and going around and through the Florida Keys and up into the Gulf. This represents one of the first documented movements of tagged sharks into Gulf waters, making his journey particularly significant for marine science.
Well, we usually think of the big ones off, you know, on the ocean side, not the Gulf side.
So, right.
Yeah. Don't bring your friends.
Yeah.
No, we don't need more of those.
Yeah, Ripple moved offshore of Tampa before settling into what researchers are discovering to be a hot spot for white shark activity. It's the Panama City region, Cape San Blas, San Blas area, and it's kind of shaping up to be an area where white sharks are to visit frequently.
Wow.
Swim. Swim accordingly.
Bobo.
Yeah. Yeah. I will lose an ankle at worst.
Yeah.
That's the depth that's of the water that I
Well, I was going to ask. You do go to the beach a lot.
Yeah.
And so I really don't know, you know, how much you actually get in the water. And so I always kind of ponder, because, you know, we enjoy it, but I don't go out in it. But, you know, you could be 3 feet of water and get attacked by
you
some
can.
Things.
Yeah, you can.
So here's my question to you. What is your level, let's say 1 to 10, of awareness / concern as you go out, let's say even into 3, 4, 5 feet of water? Do you think about it, or
no?
You
it's
don't
probably
even think
a three,
about a 3 out of 10.
Yeah,
that's not bad.
I'm trying to be aware. I'm watching what I watch for is as waves are breaking, because we like to go to the Atlantic side.
Sure.
As waves are breaking, sometimes you can see kind of in the break.
Yes.
If there's a lot of fish.
Yes.
So you might not see a shark, but if you see a lot of fish,
lunch.
That's lunch or dinner, yeah. And I don't want to be a party to that.
Right. See, I thought you were going to say, I'm aware of the sharks and someone smaller I could throw towards the shark while heading for the beach. But
No.
It's kind of like the whole thing. You just have to be a faster swimmer, that's all. Then you'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, look, if they're aggressive, I mean, you're in trouble.
Yes.
But most of the time, they're not necessarily looking for trouble. They might mistake you, especially if you're like, you know, on a paddle, like on a surfboard.
Wetsuit,
you're especially. Paddling.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
That can happen.
Yeah, because then you really look like a seal to them.
I just try to keep in mind that, you know, it's their environment.
Yes.
I'm visiting.
Yes.
And I mean you no harm, and hopefully you feel the same way. And just been fortunate. I don't go very deep. I mean,
I don't blame you.
You know, I try to, like, body surf something. So, you know, you're going maybe up to your, at the most, your shoulders, which,
right.
Of course, you could be vulnerable then.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't go any further than that.
See, I say just got to apply there the same thing you should do at a parking lot in a grocery store. Situational awareness. Just be aware and try not to be a victim.
Don't make me whip out my jujitsu on you, Mr. White Shark. You know what I'm saying?
How's that work in the water, Bob? All those years of black belt training.
Years ago, the Three Stooges taught me, man. Poke them in the eye.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. And then hold up the guard for your own eyes.
In case they, like, try to fin you in the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. and thought about it that way.
Those dirty little finners.
Keep your finners to yourself.
So anyway, yes, yeah. Sharks are around us. Be aware, I guess, is the takeaway from that. Yep.
Although, look at, you know, people go to the springs, and there's gators all over the place, and there'll be people that just get in with them, and no concern.
You know what? I guess I probably have a greater fear of alligators, mm-hmm. actually.
Well, and you and I have an experience from a few years back, and you'll remember exactly what I'm talking about. It was on one of the days where we were going and cleaning up a community. It was like an Earth Day thing.
Yeah.
And we're out by, was it the Noonan's Lake?
Yes,
that way?
That's the lake.
And so we're there, and this guy drives up, and he trots out, and he's got his little floaty board of some sort, and we're thinking, as he walks by, do you know how many gators are in this lake? And literally, it wasn't a minute.
Well, wait.
Or so.
Don't get ahead of the story.
Go ahead.
Because he was coming out a pretty cocksure of himself.
Oh, he was.
He was kind of strutting his stuff and all that. And
was.
I go, you're going in that lake? He's like, yep, do it all the time.
Uh-huh.
That's important
true.
Part of the story.
I forgot about
so
that.
So then, you know, a couple minutes later when we almost have forgotten about him because we're back to picking up trash.
We hear a splash.
A large splash.
And it wasn't him.
Well,
we don't believe
here's
it was
what
him.
We do know. We did see him again.
Yes, we did.
And this time he was walking at a faster pace with his board and not that cocksure look on his face. That certainly had disappeared, hadn't it?
He had seen something.
Well, we looked out there.
They're
I mean,
everywhere. Yeah.
Within your eye, just in your eye's view without
yes.
straining at all, you'd see easily eight gators.
Yeah. And we're thinking he's going to go jump in with
there.
Them.
Yeah, and it's right where, well, at least where, I know they're all over Newton's Lake, but, I mean, they were right there. Like, why
we thought,
would
this
you?
This guy's crazy.
Yeah.
That was the shortest little swim I've seen anybody ever take.
Yeah, these weren't, these weren't little pipsqueak gators.
No, they're
these
not.
Weren't
they
chihuahua
weren't,
gators.
No, these were mom and dad were there.
Yeah.
And
grandpa.
It was funny, though.
Grandpa was hungry.
He came trotting back with his
board.
He
did, didn't he?
Got in his car, and he was gone.
I mean, if he had a tail, it was clearly between his legs
yes,
at that point.
Absolutely. Which was the smarter move.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I don't know if he just picked a bad day, but my understanding is that thing has always been loaded full of gators.
Yeah.
Just known for
that
it.
That was hilarious, though. But you got to be aware. Again, situational awareness.
That's probably, I guess, the natives. I would imagine probably ate a lot of gator.
They found
dugout canoes there, well preserved.
Yes,
lots
right.
of them.
Yeah,
and so yeah, that may have been kind of a hot spot for them, eating gator.
Mm-hmm.
And
them before they
and manatee
it probably wasn't illegal back in the day. I'm saying.
William Bartram walked through the area and saw them grilling up some steaks. They were manatees.
Oh, my. Animal lovers, address your emails to.
I guess this is, maybe it's good that people are completely ignorant of their history.
Yes.
Right?
Sometimes ignorance is bliss, they say.
Education Secretary Linda McMahon called for Governor Walz, you know, the guy that's, that's the guy. Was he doing the best he could to protect money that was set aside for education? Because Linda McMahon pointed out that Walz has served as state's governor since 2019, and that during that time, his careless lack of oversight and abuse of the welfare system has attracted fraudsters from around the world, especially from Somalia. McMahon went on to explain that 1,834 ghost students in the state were discovered to have received $12.5 million in taxpayer-funded grants and loans.
Wow.
Ghost students.
Uh-huh.
$12.5 million.
Amazing.
In the letter, McMahon went on to state that given Walz's dereliction of the office entrusted to him, she was imploring him to resign and make way for more capable leadership.
What a just corrupt state. I mean, it's a new department every day.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, you know, and people were pointing at the Somalian population, which,
right.
yes, of course, they were heavily involved in all this. But you had to wonder, how did the higher-ups not see some of this? And to that, you have to at least ask the question, maybe they did see it. Maybe they participated. Maybe they were afraid to step in and stop it. I don't know. But certainly dereliction of his job That sounds about right at the very least. At the beginning of this year, the U.S. Department of Education became aware that fraudulent college applicants, especially concentrated in Minnesota, were gaming the federal post-secondary education system to collect money that was intended for young Americans to help them afford college. Wow. The letter continued in part, "We call these fraudsters ghost students because they were not ID verified and often did not live in the United States."
Oh, my goodness.
Or they just simply did not exist at all. In Minnesota, like I said, 1,834 ghost students. They received a total of $12.5 million. They collected checks from the federal government, shared a small portion of the money with the college, and pocketed the rest without attending the college at all. You know, a system of checks and balances.
Yeah.
You know, are you actually enrolled? Have you attended a class?
Do you exist?
That shouldn't be that tough to ascertain that. The stop ghost students, to stop them, we at the Department of Education implemented enhanced fraud controls, such as mandatory identity verification for certain first-time student applicants. Our new fraud prevention system has now blocked more than $1 billion in attempted financial aid theft by fraudsters, including coordinated international fraud rings and AI bots pretending to be students. Gosh, am I that far removed from the situation? I mean, my kids went to school. My kids secured whatever grants and loans that were made available, to them.
Right.
And I remember it being a pretty substantial amount of paperwork involved in it. You know what I mean? If you didn't live in the country, can you imagine that, addressing a check to somebody in a foreign country?
Well, even wind that back to when we were kids going to city public schools. You had to have all these shots. You had to prove you lived in the district. Your parents had to go through a lot just to prove you should even be there. And then we just bring in people from around the country that don't even speak the language and stick them in a class and let the teacher live with it. What's wrong with that picture?
Or hire additional teachers because of language barriers at additional cost, etc. Yep. But this one, Linda McMahon, calling out the Governor Walz, and it looks like she is in a very strong position. Now, knowing what I know about, this guy, Tim Walz, he'll deny it. He'll try to assign blame, and nothing will be done about it. That's within his control. And he'll continue to act as though, nothing's wrong. But looks like he certainly had some role, even if his role was doing nothing. He is the governor of Minnesota. What a mess.
Everywhere we turn, there's fraud going on up there. It's crazy.
Paul Bunyan must be turning over in his grave.
It's a big one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
9:49 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and it is time. We need some upbeat, positive thoughts. Time for things that make you smile. Brought to you by my dentist, Transformation Dentistry, and Dr. Samantha Annis. So call in now with your upbeat thoughts. You can do it. 877-975-9825. Call now for things that make you smile. Nine:54 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy's here. Things that make you smile is brought to you by my dentist, Transformation Dentistry, and Dr. Samantha Annis. What's making me smile? Another beautiful day. I feel like I'm on moving into the healthier side with my knee and all that, and that makes me feel good. And you, Greg?
The hot wife Jen and I and some other friends going to go see Michael Bublé tomorrow night. A little Christmas show going on. Looking forward to that.
Michael Bublé.
He is so good. What a talented guy.
He has. Well, how would you describe his voice?
Old school, but it's a jazz vocalist. But, think of the classic sound of, male vocalists used to sound like. So, yeah.
Sinatra-ish? Tony Bennett-ish?
Bennett, Dean Martin, probably more so, that kind of thing. Yeah. Very, yeah, perfect for Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Yep.
Coming up next, The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot, GTR. Time now for The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot, GTR. Newly declassified FBI and DOJ records have revived scrutiny of the Clinton Foundation's ties to the Uranium One deal. Remember that one? Well, Peter Schweizer, he wrote a book on it called Clinton Cash. He said, we broke the Uranium One story back in 2015. Yeah, and they believed there was criminal activity. The documents backed that up from the DOJ and the FBI. But back then, the Obama officials just simply shut the investigation down. And that is another smoking gun for you. Yep, The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot, GTR. On behalf of Greg Cassidy, I'm Bob Rose. God bless you and your family. Have a great, safe day. See ya.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.